Brethren, the title for our session today is Lessons from Acts chapter 3, 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles with you, please get ready to go there. We bring the love of your brethren in from the Columbus Bible Students Ecclesia, special love from my wife, Sister Marilyn Alexander. You are our brethren. And we long to see you in person and wrap our arms around you. You know, since we've seen you, babies have been born, more babies are on the way, and we're excited for all of these life affirmations that you enjoy. Before we go to Acts chapter 3, however, our lesson will begin in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is what Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 33 says. It's the boat scene. It's when Peter was walking on water. And this is what these verses say. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Brethren, I think this scripture is a framework for reading and understanding Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. There are four beautiful things to notice. Peter saw the wind, and Peter was afraid. Number two, Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he caught Peter. Number three, Jesus saves Peter from drowning in the storm. And number four, the faith of the others in the boat was greatly strengthened. Now, this miraculous experience proved to strengthen the faith of Peter and the other disciples. And the point of my thoughts today is that these disciples would rely on the memory of this miracle for the rest of their lives. So now let's turn to Acts chapter 3. And read verses 1 through 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. Brethren, this episode was right after Pentecost. And Peter and John voted with their feet by going to the temple to do the work of the gospel. They went to the temple. It was a house of faith. They went there to fulfill the Great Commission. Peter and John went to the temple to fish for Jewish believers. Peter acted on his faith in the same way that he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Now, I'm sure Peter had to dig deep into his soul and find great courage to do this work. And it required a resolve to do the work of the gospel that Jesus had recalibrated Peter to do. Remember? Peter was recalibrated from being a fisher of fish to be a fisher of men. And it required Peter's belief and courage in the activation of his ministry. It required his belief in Jesus' confidence. It required belief in overcoming his own sin. And it required belief in going forward to do the work in faith. The same belief and courage that he tested in himself when he asked Jesus to help him walk on the water in the storm. The same belief that he had when he stepped out of the boat onto the water. One of the lessons I think we learn from Peter and John going to the temple is that our witnessing will have the greatest effect when we focused on those people who have a heart for God, but who may not know God with their mind's eye or understand his work. So one of my favorite witnessing questions is this. What about your faith is still a mystery to you? Well, the fact that this episode happened in the ninth hour is curious, and I think it's a bit prophetic. It was the time of the evening sacrifice, and it supports the prophetic implications that this healing was a picture of the healing of the Gentiles. And as we know, mankind is lame from birth under the curse of the Adamic death. We'd like to go through some more thoughts reading each of these scriptures. Let's go back to verse 2, Acts chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the temple, gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." We think this is a picture of the healing of the Gentiles. While mankind is lame from birth due to hereditary death, mankind has no proper footing before God. They didn't even have typical justification. And we know that Cornelius received the Holy Spirit at the same time of the day. That's when the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles. And just like this lame man was placed outside of the temple to beg for alms, Gentiles are outside of the temple arrangement between the Jews and God. At least they were. And this lame man begging for money at the gate of the temple is a similar dynamic to the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where Lazarus was begging for crumbs at the rich man's table. Verse 3. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." You know, in my experience, when people reach out and ask us for help, they may not be asking the right question, as in this man's case. This lame man asked for money. But Peter looked at him and discerned what he really needed. And the lame man could not ever imagine being healed, so he did not even know how to ask for that question. And I think this is a nice point that similarly, God will save the Gentiles when they don't even know the question they should ask him. Verse 4. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, I think some at the temple most likely felt that beggars were a nuisance. But Peter and John used the opportunity to help this beggar find his faith. Instead of delivering the words of the gospel to this lame man, Peter first inspired him with the miracle of his own healing. And I think this is an important lesson for us. Peter delivered on this man's desperate needs first. And then he delivered the gospel message later, when the man was leaping and jumping. And sometimes the desire for faith and healing in others is hidden in them being a nuisance. From my experience, sometimes we need to first witness with our works of the gospel, and when their heart is opened through inspiration, our words will be more impactful. Peter and John said to this lame man, "Look on us." And Peter told this lame man to focus on him, just as Peter had to focus attention on Jesus to be rescued in the Sea of Galilee. One of the reasons Peter said this, "Look on us," I think, was because Peter wanted the man to hear his next words and make sure that that man did not look past Peter. And it had the desired result. In verse 5, it said, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." So what did Peter and John give this lame man? They gave him their attention. Similar to how Jesus gave Peter and John his full attention during his ministry. They were in his inner circle. They received the full measure of the experience that Jesus was going to give the disciples. Now, Peter's focus on this lame man required his discernment. It required Peter's discernment to decide what to do in this situation. And I think Peter's experience walking on the water with Jesus provided a mental framework for this moment. It helped Peter be merciful. It helped Peter provide inspiration to the lame man and the thousands who were watching. And it helped Peter win his arguments with the religious leaders on the battleground of the people's minds. Verse 6, "Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, Peter answered the right question. The lame man was drowning in the storm of his life, and this experience surely reminded Peter of Jesus reaching out to save him from drowning. Remember that moment in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 33? Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter. Now, I really like the idea in Matthew 14, verse 33, it says that all of the disciples in the boat came and worshiped Jesus and said, "Of a surety, you are the Son of God." And I think that opportunity was not lost on Peter either. The faith of the others in the boat was greatly strengthened, and they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And in that moment of Jesus saving Peter, Jesus not only saved Peter, but he gave all of the disciples in the boat a powerful platform for their faith. So when Peter went to the temple, he acted on his faith. Just as he stepped out of the boat, and walked on the water toward Jesus. When Jesus said to that lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter called attention to Jesus. Jesus was the reason for the lame man's healing. And Peter's work required his resolve, his courage, his determination to do the work that he was recalibrated to do. So I ask you, my brethren, have you been recalibrated? And if so, are you doing the work that you were recalibrated to do? It required Peter's belief in Jesus, in Jesus' confidence, in his favor. It required Peter's belief in his overcoming his own sin, and it required Peter's courage in going forward in his own faith. Acts chapter 3, verse 7, it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, we think of the lame man and the miracle that happened, but what about what Peter felt? Shortly after the delivery of the Holy Spirit, Peter felt the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. That his Lord and friend Jesus had promised just a couple of months earlier. And it may have reminded Peter of all of the times that Jesus reached out to catch him when he was sinking. Peter saved this man from drowning in a storm of human suffering. And I think Peter used two miraculous gifts in this episode. One of those miraculous gifts was internal to him, and another one was external, focused on the lame man. The gift of faith is what Peter needed to exercise that day. And that is a gift. Our faith is a gift. And that is something that happens internally. And the gift of healing is that miraculous healing that Peter used was an external gift. And I believe that we have both of these gifts, albeit not the miraculous healing of the physical body. We cannot perform physical healings. We cannot call on the name of Jesus Christ to to heal a body, but we can call on the name of Jesus Christ to open the mind of a person to the gospel if we pray according to God's will. Now, the gift of faith is a powerful thing. It's highlighted in Acts chapter 11 verses 22 through 24. Acts chapter, well, we won't read those verses, but it's the ability to understand the will and purposes of God for his work and implicitly trust in him to perform it. Have we done that? It requires no interaction with the target of our prayer, but we can pray to understand God's will and his purposes and pray for our brethren or for our family, our children, our grandchildren, as the case may be. The gift of healing is highlighted in John chapter 14, 12 through 13. This is the gift that we have access to. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is what Jesus says. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Do you think Peter remembered that in front of the temple with that lame man? Jesus says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And Jesus gives us the opportunity to use his name to open the eyes of the blind during the gospel age. Verse 8, Acts 3, verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. wow, this is a picture of the healing of the Gentiles and the lame man leaping as in heart. Consider that mankind was helpless because they too were lame from birth. Similarly to how Peter was helpless in the Sea of Galilee. And now the man was now in the temple condition with Peter and John, just like how mankind would be brought into God's arrangement of salvation. Now this was quite a miracle. This man was lame from birth. Then in this scriptural account, this man did not even need to learn how to walk. He didn't know how to go. He didn't need to go through physical therapy. So my friends, my brethren, like Cornelius, are you leaping up? Are you walking? Are you leaping? What stage of these are you in? Are you still leaping up? Are you walking? Or are you walking and leaping? I think that there's a really nice metaphor. It's a framework to understand our own relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." The healing of this man was a wonderful demonstration of God's power to all the people. And I bet the social media platforms are really buzzing. My brethren, have you ever witnessed a miracle of God in your life? Does your family know about these miracles that you witnessed in your life? And are they praising God because of your testimony? Verse 10, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Wow, it says that the people were filled with wonder and amazement. Is your family filled with wonder and amazement of the miracles that God and Jesus have done for you? Just like the disciples who witnessed the miracle of Jesus saving Peter on the water. Acts chapter 3, verse 11, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." So what was going on in Peter's mind at this point? He just received the Holy Spirit. All of Jesus' words were consolidated into the idea that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for I remember he told me so. I am little, but I belong. I am weak, but he is strong. I can do this. This feels right. Now, perhaps these interactions with Jesus ran through his mind at this moment. Jesus told me I was a fisher of men. Jesus asked me who I thought he was. Jesus asked me if I loved him. Jesus asked me to feed his weak sheep. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus warned me not to be overcome with pride. You know, this must be my alabaster box. The work of my ministry must be my alabaster box. Peter was back. Now, in conclusion, the experience of walking toward Jesus on the water and then sinking because of fear was an important moment for Peter, and it was not lost on him. When he sunk into the water, he showed us that he lacked that confidence in Christ because he was overcome with fear. And in these two experiences in Peter's life, Peter teaches us that fear was the result of a lack of his faith. And when we are living a life in the light of God's will, we should not be regulated by fear. Peter told us that we now have a new context for our life. He said, "Fear not," in 1 Peter 3:14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Peter's confidence in Jesus and in his own healing from fear compelled him to begin his ministry. Perhaps Stephen was in that audience of Acts chapter 3. And perhaps like the disciples on the boat, that propelled Stephen into his ministry. Stephen was like one of those disciples that was in the boat with the storm with Jesus. So my brethren, God gives us spiritual gifts so that we can do for one another what he wants to do for us. May God add his blessings.